everybody knows that all the people don't have liberty, all the people don't have freedom, all the people don't have justice, and all the people don't have power, so that means none of us do.
Our generation is going to be recruited to fight these endless wars.
We will throw our bodies into the machine.
When you terrorize some of us, you terrorize every single one of us.
Tell them to turn off CNN. Tell them to turn off Fox News. The war is not in Iraq. It's on my block.
Ningún ser humano es ilegal.
I will put my body on the line every single day. Until this war comes to an end.
We must keep resisting, keep fighting, and never give up.
It is the business of the future to be dangerous.
IndieBay presents Enemy Combatant Radio every week on Calex's Amandla at 5:30 p.m.
See how filthy is out there, how dirty is. Where them bin man gone, man?
In October of 2003, the federal government announced plans to award $75 million to help address the issue of chronic homelessness in the U.S. According to the Bush administration, chronic homelessness is defined as, quote, an unaccompanied homeless individual with a disabling condition who has either been continuously homeless for a year or more, or has had at least four episodes of homelessness in the past 3 years, unquote. Unfortunately, the initiative gives priority to the most visible of the homeless population, specifically homeless with mental illness or substance abuse problems, while neglecting to fund preventative measures for the ever-burgeoning numbers of homeless families. ECR spoke with Chance Martin of the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco.
When you look at the federal government's prerogatives right now, they're cutting the money to fund Section 8 programs nationally. It's going to play out against, like, I think there's like 3,100 families here in the Bay Area that are at risk of having their Section 8 funding curtailed. You know, the federal budget is like $1.7 billion short of the funding level for Section 8 vouchers last year. On the one hand, you know, we're focusing on these very visible folks whose homelessness is compounded by mental illness or drug addiction or both, while at the same time, we're going to make millions of more homeless people, mostly families, across the country.
Meanwhile, in San Francisco, a year-long battle to overturn then-Supervisor Gavin Newsom's Care Not Cash initiative has resulted in a slightly altered version set to take effect May 1st of 2004. This initiative redefines the meaning of shelter, but does not address the money that homeless people are still required to pay for food and utilities, nearly 50 to 60% of the monthly stipend for social service recipients in San Francisco.
Supposedly starting May 1st, although we did get, you know, Care Not Cash didn't actually pass at the board level. We got Chris Daley's version of it called Real Housing, Real Care. And that was primarily crafted to address the idea that a shelter bed was housing. Well, under Chris's version of the legislation, you can't be charged rent for a shelter bed. But unfortunately, that didn't address the fact that other provisions in Care Not Cash enabled the Department of Human Services to charge homeless GA recipients staying in shelter for food and utilities.
Other changes being implemented under now Mayor Gavin Newsom include biometric fingerprinting as a way of tracking the homeless. Newsom contends that if homeless people want public funds for services such as shelters, the public has a right to know who those homeless people are.
We did a survey of, you know, a fairly good representative sample. We surveyed like 201 shelter dwellers and found that over 70% of them opposed changes, including 30% of the people that we surveyed that said they will not go to a shelter anymore because of that biometric finger image. Among homeless Latinos, the percentage of people that refuse to go to shelter now is 44%. Because they cite concerns about the ability to share that information with the Immigration and Naturalization Services.
Budget cuts abound as Governor Schwarzenegger attempts to remedy the ever-growing state financial crisis. Even at the same time as the federal government claims to be addressing issues of chronic homelessness, the social services being hardest hit by budget cuts are substance abuse and mental health programs, while the prison industry is being bolstered by private mental health contracts.
Right now in San Francisco, the largest mental health treatment provider is the county jail. The largest mental health treatment provider in the country is the Los Angeles County Jail.
For more information on what you've heard today, visit www.sf-homeless-coalition.org. This has been Sunny Anarchy for Enemy Combatant Radio on CalX's Amandla. Visit us online at www.enemycombatantradio.net.
It's hard being poor, yeah, it's hard being poor. Bailiffs banging at the door, getting treated like a leper. Us poor people don't deserve any better.
In the pre-dawn hours of April 7th, 2003, hundreds of demonstrators gathered at the ports in Oakland to protest American President Line, or APL, and Stevedoring Services of America, or SSA, two companies that are emblematic of war profiteering. Demonstrators gathered in a nonviolent community picket and succeeded in shutting down the ports for the morning.
The cops have just fired three rounds of tear gas.
That's when police opened fire on protesters with, quote, less than lethal weapons.
People are running in the opposite direction. That's the fourth round that you hear right now. So puffs of tear gas are floating. People are trying to remain calm and walking away rather than running. But the police have definitely lost control of the situation.
As demonstrators dodged bullets, they tried to remember what had brought them to the docks in the first place.
Taxi with a man, a woman, a taxi driver. And there's more gunfire, as you can hear, and there's clouds of small clouds of tear gas. But anyway, back to my story. Get behind this truck. A man, a woman, and a small infant were gunned down by U.S. military this morning, or I think maybe a few hours ago, but they were gunned down after trying to get past a checkpoint.
At the same time, activists recognized that something significant had changed. Andrea Pritchett is one of the founders of Bay Area Cop Watch and draws connections between police brutality here at home and military invasion and occupation abroad.
The war has come home. You know, the folks in Baghdad and Palestine and all around, they're facing bullets, they're facing this stuff every day. And the people of Berkeley, Oakland, and the people of the United States got to understand, they're shooting us now.
One year later, with more than 10,000 Iraqi civilians, an untold number of Iraqi soldiers, and more than 600 American soldiers dead, anti-war activists returned to the dock in a demonstration that was part a demanding of the right to dissent and part outrage at the continued and escalating violence in Iraq. Tanya Mayo is an organizer with Not In Our Name.
And clearly, you know, the U.S. is not backing off, so we really have to be out here to demand, you know, not just that the end of the war in Iraq happen, but that this withdrawal from Fallujah and these increased attacks end immediately.
Kate Raphael is a member of Direct Action to Stop the War and has recently traveled to Iraq and to Palestine. She says it's important to bring the reality of this war home to American people.
We wage these devastating wars in other countries, and we're directly involved in them, yet we're totally unaffected by them. And it's as if it's happening to dolls. And it's just really important that we be finding creative ways to remind people that this is going on and we are doing this.
Other activists say that money spent on war would be better spent on social services and education for Americans. Carol Norris is a national organizer for Code Pink. She connects the cost of military endeavors internationally directly to the economic crisis happening domestically.
Well, you have to look at a lot of the domestic issues that are going on. And I mean, there's 2.6 million pink slips that have been given in this country now because Bush is giving a lot of tax cuts. He's giving tax breaks to the rich. Since he's been in office, there's been $1 billion worth of money that he's proposed to take away from job training and education programs and money that's going to fund the war.
Tristan is an activist and independent journalist who has just returned from Iraq. He says it's also important to resist domestic repression.
Well, I think the Oakland police thought that if they cracked down on us hard enough, we'd be frightened away. And I read a little quote from the guy from the California Anti-Terrorist Information Center calling us terrorists, basically, you know, trying to get us to be frightened and run away and hide and not poke our heads up anymore. But I think we have an important thing to say and an important struggle against this war, and so we're going to keep on going.
However, on the docks in Oakland, activists say they see hope for the future.
I think we're headed in the right direction. I think the momentum is definitely building.
For Enemy Combatant Radio on KALX's Amandla, I'm Sarah Olson.